And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by Melissa Gott and the amazing team over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. We'll have more and hear more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. So there's a growing concern and some growing issues here in southeastern North Carolina, and it's a political problem. And it is the fact that individuals from predominantly from the Northeast, some from California as well, but predominantly from the Northeast, have determined that they want to run away from the failed policies of places like New York, like Massachusetts, like Connecticut, Vermont. I mean, the list goes on and on. Run away from the terrible, awful policies that have made places like New York incredibly unaffordable to live. And they've decided in their infinite wisdom that they're going to move to North Carolina. And instead of seeing that North Carolina is in pretty good shape, the state is consistently ranked as number one state, top for business, CNBC, 3 out of the last 5 years we've had that ranking. The state is seeing unbelievable amounts of economic success and growth. It is one of the top states for new people moving here. Why is that the case? Just take a step back. Why might people be moving to North Carolina? It's pretty affordable to live. There's a lot of great amenities that are offered, of course, for many of you listening here on the coast. We are, you know, in some cases just miles away from the beach. Center part of the state. You've got the major city that is Charlotte, one of the top 25 metros across the country. A tech explosion in the Research Triangle area, and the beauty that is Western North Carolina, the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. It's just a great place to be. There's a reason that people are coming here. Nobody's forcing them to do so. They're actively making a decision to move to North Carolina. And so the issue you've got is these radical progressives from places like New York that move to North Carolina and say, you guys are doing it all wrong. And that's to kind of be expected, right? I mean, they're elitist, they're entitled, they come from a disaster of a state, and they believe everything they do is right. So they come to North Carolina, they move into the state, and they say, everything you do is wrong. The way you handle government is wrong, the way that you elect people is wrong, everything is wrong. And I, as the progressive from New York, I as the radical from New York, I have the winning message. I have the winning solutions to all of the problems that you don't know exists, but I know exists because I'm an elitist from New York or California or Vermont or Massachusetts that's going to tell you that the way that you've been doing things isn't right. It's the typical liberal elitist mentality that exists. One of the individuals that exemplifies that probably better than anybody else is Democrat Tim Merrick. Popped onto the scene a couple of years ago, surprise, surprise, moving from the state of New York. Failed politician there. We'll get into those details in a few minutes. Failed politician from New York moves to North Carolina and tries to give another crack at it. Couldn't get elected in New York as a Democrat, so let's move to New Hanover County. We'll move to southeastern North Carolina and give a crack at it. And to his credit, he was successful in getting elected in 2024 to the New Hanover County Board of Education, where he currently serves, where he was censured by the board, continues to make a complete jackass of himself publicly and privately with email exchanges with his fellow board members on the dais, just overall generally not a great guy. So he's been in that position for, at this point, little less than a year, and he has determined and decided that the school board is not a big enough fish to fry for him. So he announced this week that he was running for the North Carolina House. You'll remember back over the last couple of months, or probably about a month and a half or so, we brought you the news that current Representative Ted Davis, who serves as the House rep in House District 20 here in New Hanover County, has decided after a very long career of public service that he is retiring at the end of his term, which ends at the end of 2026. Ted Davis has been a phenomenal representative when he was a member of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners and has been a phenomenal representative up in Raleigh. Ted Davis is a Republican. This is a seat currently held by Republicans. We then learned that Dane Scalise, current member of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners, the current vice chair, is seeking that seat to replace Ted Davis in House District 20. Now, for those that are not familiar with district lines, I don't fault you for that. This is essentially House District 20. So if you are over in the Landfall, Mayfair area, up towards Ogden and Porter's Neck, Murrayville, up to Castle Hayne, the northern tip or the northern half of New Hanover County, up to the Pender line, is where House District 20 sits. Wrightsville Beach area is included in there. Figure 8, that is House District 20. So it's like the northern half, northern third of New Hanover County. That's the district that we're talking about. I live in House District 20. I'm very glad to have been drawn into House District 20 out of House District 18, where failed Democrat Deb Butler is currently the representative. So Ted Davis is retiring. New Hanover County Commissioner Dane Scalise is running as the Republican. And Dr. Tim Merrick, the radical failed progressive from New York, is deciding that he wants to serve New Hanover County. He wants to serve the people of New Hanover County. He wants to fight for the people of New Hanover County and Raleigh. And what we're going to lay out over the next hour is why Tim Merrick, his ideas, the things that he stands on, the things that he says publicly, those are wrong for New Hanover County. Those do not fit the values that represent New Hanover County as a whole, and I can sure as hell tell you, are not things that represent House District 20. So a little backstory on Tim Merrick. He's from New York, which inherently isn't a problem. I mean, I am a New York individual as well. So I'm not sitting there dogging him from being from New York. The problem is he's a far left radical from the state of New York. He moved here a couple of years ago and is bringing exactly what you would expect. Failed progressive, failed Democrat ideologies from New York, and now wants to shove them down your throat in New Hanover County, whether we're talking about the school board or the state level, being a representative in the North Carolina General Assembly. That's what he wants to do. And I'm going to just say this, and I'm just going to be as blunt as I possibly can. You know, North Carolina is not broken. I guess for those on the political left, because they can't understand the fact that Democrats had control of this state for like 150 years and practically drove it into the ground. Republicans took over in 2010, won the 2010 elections, were successful in that, and took over the General Assembly in 2011. North Carolina isn't broken. But we see this same story over and over again. People like Tim Merrick flee New York, in many cases because of its failed policies. And then they show up here acting like everything is broken and it needs to be fixed. And they're the Messiah. They're the Savior. They're doing us a favor by getting involved in fixing everything that is so broken, throw that in air quotes, here in North Carolina. And you really have to take a step back, and I can talk about this firsthand because I lived there. When you talk about these policies in New York, the same progressive ideology, it has wrecked the state of New York. It has wrecked states like California. The taxes are out of control. The school systems are crazy. The cities are falling apart. The quality of life blows. That's why everybody's leaving. I mean, there's a reason that New York and California have the top two levels of move-outs anywhere in the country. Where is that data coming from? U-Haul. I think I'd probably put some serious credit into a study from U-Haul about what's going on with their trucks. Where are trucks being rented? New York and California, and they're being returned in places like Texas, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia, the list goes on. Mass migration out of these states, and in large part because the policies have failed the people. Spending $30,000 a year on your property taxes for your home that's worth $250,000 in New York is not really sustainable for most people. The cost of living is way too expensive. The state and local tax rates are way too high. And there, it's interesting because there seems to be no inward reflection from these individuals. They will complain that states like New York and California, it's too expensive to live. And we're seeing a lot of this in Texas as well. Yet they'll move to a state like Texas or North Carolina and elect individuals that have the same failed policies. I mean, it is bordering on the definition of insanity, which is what? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Far-left progressives in New York have destroyed that state. And yet, New Yorkers who are fleeing the cost of living, fleeing the tax rate, fleeing the failing state of New York, they move to North Carolina and our neighboring states and elect individuals that have the exact same ideology. Do you not see how that leads us into a major problem? How is it that these individuals cannot wrap their head around the reason they left the state is because of failed Democrat policies? Some sort of cognitive dissonance? I don't know what it is, but that's exactly what's going on. And so they attempt to escape these bad ideas, but then they drag it all down here. And so that's a major issue that we are facing here across the state of North Carolina. Texas is dealing with it as well, and especially in New Hanover County, as geographically we're the second smallest county in the state. Population-wise, we're the sixth or seventh largest, large county in terms of population, but geographically pretty small. And it's a very purple area. The top registered voters in New Hanover County are unaffiliated, Republican, and then Democrats slightly behind them. And so it's an area in the state that is growingly purple as mass migration from failed states like New York continues to take place. So Tim Marek fits this bill almost exactly. I mean, he fits it perfectly. He was the former chairman of the board of the Northern Adirondack Planned Parenthood. He was the chairman of the Plattsburgh Democrat Party. And he did run for public office when he was in the state of New York. At the time, he ran it back in 2006 for the state assembly, the equivalent to our North Carolina legislature in the state of New York. He ran in the 2006 election that took place, and he got absolutely destroyed, absolutely annihilated by the incumbent Betty Little. Look at the results here. For those listening, he lost by 37 points to an incumbent Republican. 37 points. I mean, that is a political bloodbath. That was back in 2006. And so is it fair to ask if his ideas were too radical for Democrats in the North Country in New York? Is it fair to say that they're maybe a little bit too radical here across North Carolina? Is that a fair assessment to draw? He lost by 37 points as a Democrat in upstate New York. Now, for those that are not super familiar with New York politics, obviously the city gets a lot of attention. Albany gets a lot of attention, the state capital, out towards Buffalo and some of the other larger areas. And while a lot of the state tends to lean more Republican, the fact that he lost by so much in that race goes to show you the issue that he is as a candidate. And so I found this interview. This is from the North Country Public Radio back in 2006 when Tim Marek was running for this seat that he would then, election day would roll around, he'd lose by almost 40 points. This is what he said at the time in 2006 when he was running. And so there's some interesting things in this clip I want you to take a listen to.
I'm so excited right now by the winds of change that are sweeping across New York State. You see, I am a big believer in the democratic process. And as a state and a nation, we have gone down some dark and dangerous paths. Each time we do, people rise up with pride and strength and resolve, and they say, we have had enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have once again come to that time where we are realizing that we can no longer afford the latitude that our leaders have taken. We have a higher debt and a higher local tax burden than any state in the nation. We cannot afford health care. We have lost hundreds of jobs, and our children are leaving the state in droves.
Whoa. Hold on a second here. This is 2006. Sounds like a Republican. He's complaining about people leaving the state. He's complaining about the tax rate. He's obviously had a pretty great awakening in the last 20 years because now all he does is advocate for your taxes to be higher. We'll hear that coming up here in a little bit, complaining that the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners didn't give him a blank check to piss away as much money as possible as a member of the New Hanover County Board of Education. So he seemingly can identify the issue. This was an election he ran in 2006, this interview from November the 2nd, a couple of days before the election day in 2006 was November the 7th. So this is a couple of days before the election, and he's highlighting unaffordability. He's highlighting health care, which, of course, we know Obama would come in and then destroy, and highlighting mass migration out of New York. This is almost 20 years ago. So he's highlighting these issues, seemingly cared about them enough to mention them in this interview. This was during a some sort of debate that was going on that was broadcast on the Lake Mountain PBS affiliate. So he understands what the issues are, but he doesn't seem to practice what he preaches. There's a huge disconnect from the things that he is saying and said in that interview versus seemingly what he believes now. Here's another great Tim Mayer quote for you. This is Thursday, October the 26th, 2006, running in the Adirondack Daily Enterprise, a newspaper in the North Country where he was running for the state assembly in New York. Here's a great quote from Tim Mayer. "Do you think they attacked the Twin Towers because they are jealous of our freedom?" Merrick asked those assembled. "We have not been fair to nations in the Middle East." Do you think they attacked the Twin Towers because they are jealous of our freedoms? Now, again, this is 2006. And I know that obviously across the entire United States, September 11th, the attacks on 9/11, 2001 were devastating. But you've got to remember where this was said. This is being said in New York State. I get that the connection isn't the same everywhere across the country. But he was saying this in New York State. Very strong likelihood that people living in the 45th Senate District in New York lost friends, family members, loved ones in the September the 11th terror attacks on the World Trade Center. But we've not been fair to the Middle East nations. So I guess we deserved to have two planes flown into the World Trade Center, killing thousands of people. That's what it reads to me. Do you think they attacked the Twin Towers because they are jealous of our freedom? We have not been fair to nations in the Middle East. These are the disastrous, dangerous ideas that Tim Merrick has brought to New Hanover County and is now trying to implement as a member of the New Hanover County Board of Education. Thank God he's in the minority there. Thank God there's five Republicans and only two Democrats. And by the way, the irony of it is the two Democrats, Tim Merrick and Judy Justice, both of them are running for higher office, literally using it as a stepping stone. Tim Merrick's been in office a year and is running for North Carolina House. Judy Justice, same thing, has been in office a year and is running for New Hanover County Commission. So they'll plead to you about how much they care about the children and this, that, and the other, but they can't even serve out their term. I mean, it's absurd. So here's the announcement from Merrick this week saying, "Hi, my name is Tim Merrick and I'm running for North Carolina House District 20. I am currently serving on the New Hanover County Board of Education, advocating for our public schools and for better support for our students, teachers, and staff. I have also been a small business owner for 45 years. I am running because every child, every family, and every neighborhood in North Carolina deserves real opportunity, stability, and a fair shot at getting ahead. This campaign is not about politics as usual or more of the same. It's about real change." Listen to this, folks. "It's about real change and bringing new leadership to Raleigh that will actually show up, listen, and care about the people who live here. I am focused on practical, people-first solutions that reflect the values and the needs of southeastern North Carolina. New Hanover County deserves a representative who listens, brings people together, and delivers practical solutions for the future." Doesn't get any more progressive than that. He says it right in his statement. It's about real change, right? Because North Carolina is broken, according to these people. North Carolina is backwards in everything that it does, according to these out-of-control progressive lunatics. And so he's going to bring real change. I don't believe we need real change. I am very happy with where things currently sit in North Carolina. We were just ranked this year, once again, the number one state for business by CNBC. Just a couple months ago, Josh Stein was on the freaking battleship here in Wilmington with the announcement with CNBC. Number one state for business. Over the next couple of years, the corporate tax rate in North Carolina is set to go down to zero, making it one of the most business lucrative friendly states in the nation. Personal income tax continues to drop at the state level. And at the exact same time, our state continues to invest in the things that they need to while making it affordable to live here. That's the current status of North Carolina. And it doesn't, you don't have to go back that far. Go back to 2007, 2008, 2009, when Democrats had had control of the General Assembly for, at that point, 100 freaking years. What was the state of North Carolina like prior to the Republican victory in 2010? We owed hundreds of millions of dollars to the federal government. We had no rainy day fund. We had no reserves. We had one of the highest personal income tax rates anywhere in the southeast of the southeast portion of the United States. Bev Perdue and the Democrat-led General Assembly were furloughing teachers, not paying teachers because they ran out of money. That was the state of North Carolina not that long ago, folks. 15, 16, 17 years ago, that's what was going on in this state. Democrats had controlled it for 100 years and completely drove the state into the ground. That's not my opinion on it. You can very clearly go back and look. The state was heavily in debt to the U.S. federal government. We had no savings reserves. We had no money. And when the 2008 financial crisis hit, the state was broke. Broke. Where state highway patrol members, public school teachers, and others were furloughed, meaning not paid. That wasn't Republicans not paying them. That was Democrats. Now, you won't ever hear that because for whatever reason, Democrats proclaim that they are the champions of education. We'll hear some of that with a more recent interview with Tim Merrick coming up. But that was the state of North Carolina 16, 17 years ago. And so when he says it's about real change, is that what he's talking about? Is that the era that he wants to go back to? Sky high, what, 8.25%, 8.5% personal income tax rate? That's what we had prior to the Republicans taking control. Is that what he wants to go back to? Wants to rob the rainy day fund, rob the state savings account, so that when a horrific natural disaster like Hurricane Helene happens or Hurricane Florence happens, the state is broke and has no money? God forbid there's another major economic issue in the United States. The state will be broke. We can furlough state employees and teachers. Is that the change that Tim Merrick is talking about? Says he wants to bring real change and bring new leadership. I'm not interested in his style of leadership. We have a very clear and recent track record here in North Carolina of what Democrat leadership looks like in the General Assembly, and it sucks. It's not good. It's not prosperous. It does not make North Carolina a better state. It makes it more expensive. It makes it harder to run your business. It's all across the board poor government. You don't have to go back 60 years to find evidence of this. You've got to go back less than 20 to see what Democrats did in this state. And Tim Merrick looks to bring those same failed policies that left this state for ruin prior to 2010. He wants to bring those same policies back to Raleigh, back to New Hanover County. And I can tell you in all honesty this morning, I'm not interested in that. You can look at what was going on at that time. I don't want to go back to that. I enjoy having a state that is affordable. I enjoy having a state where people want to open businesses. I enjoy living in a state where I'm allowed to do what I want and not be told by the state government that I'm not allowed to do what I want. That's what Tim Merrick wants to bring to North Carolina. That's what he wants to bring to House District 20. Oh, your taxes are too low. We need more money. So we'll just jack up your personal tax rate. Businesses, you know, these people hate capitalism. Businesses are gaming the system. We'll raise the corporate income tax rate. What does that do? Makes the state more unaffordable. Now, the irony, of course, in all of this is all you ever hear from those on the political left is complaining about how things are too expensive and how taxes are too high and, oh, it's too expensive to live in New Hanover County. Yet you look at what goes on now, the Wilmington City Council, completely and exclusively controlled by Democrats. What are they going to do? They're going to raise your taxes. One side of their mouth, they'll say it's too expensive to live here. On the other side, they'll say, but we're going to raise your taxes and by definition, make it more unaffordable to be here. Make it more unaffordable to live in New Hanover County. These policies suck. They're terrible. We've seen it play out here in North Carolina. It wasn't good. And thankfully, the wave of change rolled around in 2010, and Republicans were able to gain control of the North Carolina General Assembly. And since that period of time, they have made North Carolina, I will argue, the most lucrative state in the nation to move to. Regardless of whether you are a business owner or not, there's a reason so many people want to be in North Carolina. It's not because of the Democrats. It's because of strong, smart, fiscally responsible decisions, predominantly being made by our North Carolina legislature, being made by people like Ted Davis, who served and was instrumental in many of the pieces of legislation that we're talking about that have made the state what it is today. The stuff doesn't happen by accident. You don't just roll out of bed one morning and everything is fixed. You don't just roll out of bed one morning and the taxes are cut. No, it takes very strong, principled leadership to do that. Democrats aren't interested in that. They always want more. We'll hear that from Tim Merrick. He did an interview with WHQR in the last couple of days, which is an insane interview, by the way. If maybe I haven't convinced you yet on his radical, out-of-control progressive ideals. You'll hear more of that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. North Carolina is not broken. It doesn't need fixing. Keep your insane, progressive, far-left, progressive ideology. Keep it to yourself. Or move back to New York and continue to run there. Maybe he can run for office again and lose by 37 points in New York. We'll get to more of Tim Merrick and why I'm a strong believer that he is bad for New Hanover County, bad for the people of North Carolina, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before that, we got to grab a quick break, and I want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington and thank Melissa Gott and her team for their continued support and let you know that when legal challenges arise, some good, some bad, make sure you trust the law group here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, they're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. Appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. More on why Tim Merrick is wrong for New Hanover County coming up after this, as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Friday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Good Friday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for joining us. If you are joining us live on one of our platforms or after the fact via podcast, thanks for spending some time with us this morning as we have a very important discussion about radical progressive ideologies that are seeping into major cities and areas across North Carolina, which would include what's going on here in New Hanover County, where you've got radical far-left progressive Tim Merrick who just got elected to the school board and is deciding that he is going to abandon his post there and run for North Carolina House against County Commissioner Dane Scalise in House District 20. That district currently served by Representative Ted Davis. He is retiring at the end of his term, which will end at the end of 2026. And so we will see a race next year. There will be a voting for that election in November of 26 that will pit Scalise and Merrick against each other. And I say to you with all confidence this morning, Tim Merrick is wrong for New Hanover County. He's wrong for the state of North Carolina. His ideals are not compatible with the success that we enjoy right now as a state. They're just not. Don't take my word for it. Take his own. He sat down and did a podcast, a very weird podcast, I'll note, called Re-Education. It was published by WHQR. It was hosted by a guy named Logan Kennedy. I'm not exactly sure what the connection is here or how this is playing out. And it was about a 25, 26-minute conversation with Tim Merrick about his position on the school board. It got into some pretty interesting topics, and it just builds the point even stronger that Tim Merrick is not your run-of-the-mill Democrat. He is a radical progressive who wants to raise your taxes, and that's where we start. He was talking about state funding and how the school system has no money. Of course, there's no evidence to back this up. It's just a nice talking point for those on the political left.
It was proven that the state legislature underfunds public schools. And so that's been an ongoing concern. We, based on the wealth of our state, we are 49th or 50th in funding for schools in the country. But this year, despite new valuation of property and showing the vast wealth of New Hanover County, our county commissioners cut our budget by about $2.7 million. Mm. And if that wasn't enough, reeling from that and trying to figure out what to do, the federal government said, oh, yeah, and we're going to take another $1.6 million out of the budgets. So, any one of those, we probably could have done some wrangling and, pushed things from one account to the other and made something work. But it's pretty tough to come back when you're getting hit from all our funding sources, federal, state, and county, have all hit us.
Listen to what he said there. Property reevaluation. We talked about this on the show. Property reevaluations happened. And if the tax rate had stayed the same under the old reevaluations, most people's property taxes in New Hanover County would have soared by 50, 60, 70% because property values have exploded here in just the last couple of years. And as you just heard from Tim Merrick, with the property reevaluations, with the wealth that the county has, let me make this abundantly clear. County government does not generate and does not have wealth. Government does not generate a product or service in which they generate revenue. They take it from you and I. When you buy something at the store, you're paying sales tax. Every year around July, you get a bill in the mail from New Hanover County. When you get that, that is their major source of revenue, throw that in air quotes, generation that takes place. The county does not have wealth. It doesn't produce anything that they could sell that is worthwhile. They just don't. It's government. They don't make products. They don't make services. They take our money through sales tax, through use taxes, through property taxes, and then they redistribute it out to everybody else. And so, based on his comments there, and this is, I don't believe this is a stretch by any serious way, he would have wanted the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners to raise your property taxes. Why? So that they could spend more money within the school system. No reflection that previous school boards under Democrat control got way out, too far out in front of their skis. No reflection that the previous school boards controlled by Democrats decided to use one-time monies, a lot of it coming from the federal government during COVID-19, wanted to use one-time monies to fund reoccurring expenses like bonuses and salaries and things that you have to pay for each and every year. And so the solution to the problem from Tim Merrick is not to get the school system's budget under control. the solution is not to be more fiscally responsible with the money you are given by the state and by the county. The solution is you and I, taxpayers in New Hanover County, we need to just give more. You and I need to come out of our pocketbooks more for him so he can continue running his progressive ideology within the New Hanover County school system. That same mindset is what led North Carolina to the disaster that it was prior to 2010. Taxes were sky high. The state was bringing in boatloads of money, but they weren't being smart with it. They weren't being fiscally responsible. Then you had outside factors, the housing crisis, and some of the economic downturn that we saw 2007, 2008, 2009, that left the state literally broke because they weren't smart, because they weren't being responsible with not their money, but my money, your money. It's not their money. It's our money. The state government, the county government, city government, they don't produce anything that we pay for. That's not how that works. They collect it. It's taxes. And any government of any size and of any scope needs to be fiscally responsible. I think I can say pretty accurately this morning that I don't believe Tim Merrick feels that way. And one of the things, and this sets up our next clip, that you'll hear from individuals like Tim Merrick and Judy Justice, both of whom are just off, you know, set, cut from the same cloth, just out of control radical progressives, is that they're concerned about politics. And you'll hear all the time. I watch every school board meeting. I sit through it so you don't have to. You'll hear the same washed over talking points all again. Oh, we're being political. And the only reason they're saying that is because Republicans have a 5-2 majority. So inherently, everything that is happening has to be political because Democrats aren't in charge. So Tim Mayer commented on this, and there seems to be some inconsistencies. This is his thoughts on politics within the school system.
Unfortunately, politics has a way of seeping in to the school board and has for years. Last year when I ran, the number one thing people told me, I knocked on over 5,000 doors in the county last year, and what I heard again and again was, get the politics out of our schools.
Now, I actually agree with Tim Merrick. I don't want politics in schools. I'm not interested in that. I want students and children to learn to read, write, do basic mathematics, have some civic knowledge so that they can be useful, productive members of society. I don't want politics in the classroom either. I don't want politics at the school board. I'm not interested in that. But then this clip comes around. This you just heard. That was Tim Merrick, who we're talking about this morning, saying, what I heard from parents is we've got to get the politics. So if, as a good leader, you would assume that if that was what your voters told you, and to his credit, he was successful in getting elected, that he would lead by example and not be an overtly political person. I think that would be a fair assessment. If you're going to rail on the Republicans for being political, then, I think it'd be incumbent on you to lead by example and not be political. Here's Tim Merrick earlier this year at some sort of ridiculously stupid anti-Trump rally that took place in downtown Wilmington. This is politics. It's a problem. We don't want politics. We got to get politics out of things. School board member, they shouldn't be political. Here's Tim Merrick.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I need you, all of you, as many as can, to go and be seen at your local school board meetings. You need to go to your county commissioner meetings. You need to go to the Soil and Water Committee. If you can get to Raleigh, go support Deb. We have work to do. And it's for all of us, it's from all of us, and from this day forward, this is what we're doing every day.
Hold on a second here. Hold on a second. Let me make sure I understand this. I got to listen to this clip again. What did he say? He said that the biggest concern that he heard from people when he was running in 24 was politics. Is that what he said?
Unfortunately, politics has... Okay. A way of seeping in to the school board and has for years. Okay. Last year when I ran, the number one thing people told me, I knocked on over 5,000 doors in the county last year, and what I heard again and again was, get the politics out of our schools.
How can those two things be equal at the same time? He is at an anti-Trump political protest encouraging deranged liberals who believe that the way to fight back against this administration is to walk around with signs saying that Trump is a fascist. You just heard him encouraging them to show up to the school board. These individuals are inherently political. He's at a political rally against the president of the United States, which is fine. He's allowed to be against Trump. I don't particularly care what he thinks about Trump. But you can't pearl clutch and gaslight me into this notion that politics in the schools and politics within a political process, which is the school board, is unacceptable. Yet you are actively encouraging radical progressive ideologues to show up at the school board meeting saying, we're not going to stop. We're going to do this every day. We're never going to give up. We're not giving up the fight. Pick a lane, Tim. If you want to be political, by the way, I'm okay with that. It's a political office. We elect people based on with partisan labels, R's and D's. I don't have an issue with there being politics injected. What I do have an issue with is you gaslighting the public into this, you're a nice little choir boy that's not political, and it's those damn Republicans that are. Because that's complete and total bullshit. It is. Here's Tim Merrick after the assassination of Charlie Kirk on a public Facebook post. The original post that was made in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk being shot and killed, politically assassinated, was Charlie Kirk supported what happened to Charlie. This is Merrick's response. And I quote, "Is that your quote? It hits the bullseye. It's harsh, but very true. He died by his own words. It doesn't make it right, but it does make it painful." He died by his own words. It hits the bullseye. This is Mr. Not Political. This is Mr. I knocked 5,000 doors with my stupid ass hat, and voters told me over and over again that they're not political, that they don't want politics. This is the guy? This is Mr. No Politics? This is Mr. We got to get this stuff out of the school system? Screaming like a deranged lunatic at a Trump rally about how we're not going to give up the fight? And every radical progressive that is in earshot needs to show up to every single school board meeting? Again, I don't have an issue with Tim Merrick being political. I really don't. If he wants to be political, that's his prerogative. I don't particularly care. It's political office. But don't blow smoke up my ass that you're not political when all you do is act as a political operative for the Democrat Party. Don't tell me that politics needs to be removed out of the school system as you are actively encouraging and bringing in far left progressive ideologies. You can't have that both ways. If you don't want to be political, fine. I support that too. I'm fine with it. Practice what you preach. Don't blow smoke up my ass and then be at a public rally and say this.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I need you, all of you, as many as can, to go and be seen at your local school board meetings. You need to go to your county commissioner meetings. You need to go to the Soil and Water Committee. If you can get to Raleigh, go support Deb. We have work to do. And it's for all of us, it's from all of us, and from this day forward, this is what we're doing every day.
This is what we're doing every day. It sounds pretty freaking political to me, Tim. I mean, you made the statement. I didn't tell you that you had to say that you didn't want to be political. You have publicly made the statement multiple times now. We hear it every freaking school board meeting. Anytime a Republican opens their mouth, Tim or Judy puppet this same crap every single time. Oh, well, the school board, you're being political. You're being political. Example one, we're not stopping. We're doing this every single day. I mean, it's just insane. He also can't get along with anybody because he's a pompous, arrogant, leftist progressive from New York. So earlier this year, he was censured by the school board because he decided that his own personal ideology, which is as we've described and hopefully I've laid out successfully to you at this point, is one that is very far left. his own ideology does not match with the current policies that exist in the school system, does not match with current law that exists in the state of North Carolina. So he decided to take it upon himself to ignore state law, to ignore policy, to advocate for a teacher who was openly in defiance of policy passed by the duly elected school board. Here's this.
WHQR reported at that time, Republican board members saw censure as an appropriate response to you not following proper protocols and conversations with an educator, and not following directives from the chair after you lost committee assignments for 2 months because of the interaction. You said that you saw this as just supporting an educator who wanted to quit over their treatment of having a pride flag in their classroom, which the board said goes against the current policy.
Now, I'm going to stop the interviewer here on WHQR, which the school board said when it, no, it's not the school board said. There is, in fact, policy that was passed by a duly elected government, which is the school board, that very clearly instructed educators that things like pride flags, Black Lives Matter flags, are not to be displayed in the classroom. This was not a suggestion. This was not a wink, wink, a nod, nod. No, this is policy by the school board that this is not allowed in the classroom. And I know that you're going to be as shocked to hear this as I am. Leftist educators within the New Hanover County school system, they decided that they didn't like that policy, that they didn't support that policy. So to hell with it. That's how those on the left operate. You don't like the law? Don't follow it. Screw it. You don't like the policy? To hell with it. Do whatever you want. Is that the kind of leadership that you want in Raleigh? That's the kind of individual you want leading state government when you don't like something? Don't work to change it. Just openly fly in the face of it. I mean, we just saw this last week in Raleigh. We talked to Representative Brendan Jones earlier this week about it, about the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School District, who decided that state law didn't need to be followed. Here's more from the WHQR podcast.
In the wake of that censure, like you talk with parents, has that affected how you talk with educators and people in the school system? And if so, how?
I told the superintendent when he was understanding of some of the choices I made, but still, you know, was concerned about perhaps the implications. And I had to say, Doc, if this happens again, my response will be the same.
So hold on a second here. It was censured by the school board. He was blatantly breaking school board policy. Some may even argue potentially breaking state law by interjecting himself in a dispute between an educator and the school district. And his response to that is, yeah, you know, I'd do it again. Yeah, I'd do it all over again because I don't agree with it politically. That's the kind of leadership, that's the kind of individual you want representing you in Raleigh? I don't think so.
I will support an educator every day of the week. Now, what you need to know about that is that I did not tell that teacher to break policy. In fact, the irony of it is that I hoped that the teacher would follow policy. Stay as an employee. We needed that employee. I think really what irritated the more conservative members of the school board was that I understood.
Yeah, Tim, I don't think it was the fact that you understood. I think what irritated the more conservative members of the school board is the fact that you were openly in defiance of school board policy. You openly injected yourself into a dispute that was not appropriate for you to do so. I believe that is the reason why the more, and this is, again, this is Mr. No Politics, remember. But the conservatives, those damn conservatives, they strike once again, held him accountable for breaking policy. But he'd do it again because he disagrees with it, because he is a far left progressive radical.
The need for a teacher to express themselves in a way that helped students to feel safe. First of all, you need to know, in case those listening do not have the history, that pride flag was 2 inches by 3 inches, and it was up on a bookshelf.
It was against policy.
Now, I believe that safe space is essential for education. I come from a background of neuroscience, and if you understand that when we feel threatened, the connections to our frontal cortex, which is where we create reasoning, become diluted, that we reduce a lot of the connections that allow us to think critically when we feel threatened. So the most important thing we can do as educators is help our students feel safe. And that was exactly what this educator was doing, was providing safe space for those people who, those students who were LGBTQ, which is estimated to be about 10% of our school population. And beyond that, I think it's really important, as we talked about a moment ago, about helping children be ready for the world they're going to live in, I think it's really important for straight kids to understand that there are others that are not straight, and they're just like you and me. We all are humans. We all have the same, you know, needs and desires. It's just about who we love. And I'm so concerned about our LGBTQ kids, or our children of color, or our children who live in poverty, to be marginalized and seen as other and not feeling like they belong, because that creates the threat, that creates the shutdown of the frontal cortex, and that reduces education.
So we need safe spaces in education. Teachers, regardless of what the policy is, they should be able to do whatever the hell they want. To hell with your employer. To hell with the individuals that are responsible, the duly elected school board who is responsible for setting policy. To hell with them. To hell with everything. Because I'm a progressive. And as a progressive, I'm above everybody else. My politics is my religion. And I should be allowed to do whatever I want. This is the progressive mindset, folks. This is why the progressive ideology is so dangerous. Because everything is out the window. Nothing matters. The only thing that is relevant is the ideology. And they will fight tooth and nail for it consistently. You know, you want Tim Merrick wants to talk about the frontal cortex and how that's people that's how people reason and that's where logic comes from. I'm no doctor, but maybe he should get checked on. I don't know. Doesn't seem to have a whole hell of a lot of logic or reason in his comments at all. If that's not bad enough for you, how about this? Tim Merrick says there is science and evidence to back up the fact. This guy is currently a duly elected member of the school board. Says that there is science that backs up that there's more than two genders. But again, you and I are wrong. You and I don't know what the hell we're talking about. Yet, this is the statement coming out of his mouth. Take a listen. Don't take my word for it. Take a listen to Tim's.
At what point do we say we have a responsibility to teach what we know to be real? Now, fake news suggests that what is real is everybody's choice. Science says that we have more than two genders.
What? What? Science says that we have more than two genders? What science are you looking at? You can't possibly be looking at biology. There's nothing biological that would back up the claim that there are more than two genders. This guy wants to be in Raleigh, governing for the state of North Carolina. He talks about how we need to make sure that we're teaching and providing information on things that are based in science, backed up by fact. Yet he is stating that there are more than two genders. This is insane.
At what point do we say we have a responsibility to teach what we know to be real? Now, fake news suggests that what is real is everybody's choice. Science says that we have more than two genders. I mean, intersex is the most commonly scientifically known different gender. But all the social sciences suggest that someone who is gay or even transgender is a variation on a theme here. And when we say we're not even going to talk about it, we're not even going to say, hey, this is a question.
There's no question.
How are we preventing our children from critical thinking? Why don't we talk about it and say, hey, this hasn't exactly been proven yet, but here's the way some scientists feel this way, some scientists feel this way, some religious leaders feel this way, and some that way.
We shouldn't be afraid to have those questions in their head.
This is what the world is dealing with. And so do we choose... Well, let me ask this question. How are we serving children by protecting them from what's happening in the world?
No, we're telling them that there's more than two genders because, you know, that's rooted and based in fact and science. I mean, there's not thousands of years of basic human biology that exists that proves unequivocally without a fact that there are biologically two genders, male and female. I mean, there's but social science tells us intersectionality and gay people that they're a different gender. I mean, apparently that's what Tim Merrick's saying. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. This is the guy who currently is a decision maker on the New Hanover County Board of Education and wants to lead the state of North Carolina in Raleigh. See any problems with that? Fake news is a problem, but we need to ask these questions. We need to ask, are there more than two genders? No, I don't think we need to ask that. I think that's pretty sound pat science at this point. I think we've got some pretty strong evidence to back up the fact that there are not more than two genders, Tim. But I guess whatever way you have to work yourself into a pretzel to justify that action, more power to you. How about book banning? It's a popular talking point by the left. Do you believe it's appropriate for your children to be looking at pornography in the classroom? If not, you, by definition, according to the political left, are a book banner. Here's Tim Merrick's thoughts on that.
I don't believe the book banning for the very same reason of what we've been talking about, critical thinking. It seems ironic that some of my more conservative colleagues say, we want to teach critical thinking and we want to ban books. To me, those two things just do not go together.
I'm going to just jump in and say, have you heard any Republican member on the current school board? I mean, there's five of them. Have you heard any of them publicly proclaim that they want to ban books? I mean, that's what he just said. I watch almost every school board meeting. I try to watch some of their policy committee and some of their other meetings as well, which of course run on for 3, 4, 5 hours almost every single time. I don't know that I've heard any of the board members say they are in favor of book banning because the term is made up. You as a parent, when you say, I'm not in favor of pornography being put in front of my children, you are immediately deemed by those on the political left as a book banner. That's the immediate reaction to that comment.
However, a funny story from my childhood. I went to an alternative school when I was in fourth and fifth grade, and our art teacher would read to us, fourth grade, mind you, was reading to us out of Playboy magazine. Now, if you ask me today, do I think that was appropriate? I'd say no.
Well, hold on a second, Tim. Hold on. Hold your horses here. You'd say no. Well, then it sounds like you're a book banner too. What do you mean? The reason that this term book banning exists is because those gosh darn conservatives, once again, don't want that stuff in the classroom. Tim Merrick just admitted, and by the way, he said he went to some alternative education. It's no surprise he's so screwed up. His fourth grade art teacher was reading out of Playboy magazine. I'm sure you got a hell of an education. But says, no, I don't believe that that's appropriate. So when you say that material's not appropriate, that makes sense. That's logical. That's good. But when a conservative says that they believe material is inappropriate for second, third, fourth graders, they are by definition book banned. Even this clip is only 51 seconds long and he is completely negating himself right off the top. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. None. Zero.
Okay. So not every publication belongs in a school, right? There is something that I consider, and it's very poorly defined, but what is age appropriate?
So he admits that not everything should be in the school. Not everything is age appropriate for children, but will lambast his colleagues for banning books. So he, Tim Merrick, the far left progressive radical from New York, he is the arbiter of what is age appropriate and what should or should not be in your children's classroom. If that clip wasn't enough for you, how about the blind spot that we have on the right and how parental rights, well, they don't really matter at all. More from Tim Merrick.
There is a blind spot, I believe, in a lot of conservative thinking that says, well, this is what's normal. And, you know, the question has to be asked, says who, right? For a child growing up with two mothers, that's completely normal. And then they go to school, and none of the kids are talking about their two mothers.
Yeah, because the vast majority of the kids in the school district don't have two moms, Tim. I mean, it is by definition not, would fall into the definition of not being normal. The vast majority of students within the New Hanover County School District have heterosexual parents. So I guess because there's a kid in the class who's got two moms, every kid in the class should have two moms. That's the way that I guess we need to approach this issue moving forward. What in the, I don't even know what to say anymore.
And then they start to think, well, I don't know. Am I weird? Am I different? Are my parents weird? Are they different? So it's a way of, in essence, almost shaming, othering certain demographics based on a false concept of what is normal. I'm going to keep coming back to the standard, which is the world we live in today. And the world we live in today has people of all stripes and all colors, of all different sexual orientation and who they choose as their partners and who they choose to love. And I just don't understand how we can help our children by preventing them from being exposed to this. Now, when some parent says, yeah, but that's against my religion, what if they said, well, I don't believe in George Washington. That's against my religion. What if they say that mathematics? Nope, that's fake. I don't want my children learning that. I think at some point we have to say, if you don't follow and don't want to work with the curriculum in our schools that we have chosen based on what scientists and educators, trained professionals, have believed to be the most worthy preparation for your child to succeed in this world, you should take your children out of school. You should, if it's your religion, then go find a religious school that suits your needs. I still have some concerns about that, but it is a parent's prerogative. And I'm not going to try to get in the way of the parent's prerogative to have their child learn the things that they want them to learn. But I do not believe this whole concept of parents' rights that says we are going to decide what should be taught in school. Our parents, God bless them, are not trained educators.
Gotcha. So if you, as a parent, object to your child being shown pornography in the school system, if you object to inappropriate material for your child in the public school system, Tim Merrick's solution is pack your bags and get the hell out. That's the solution. Now, of course, if you flipped that on its head, if you said the kid with two moms that he liked to use as the example, if that kid isn't happy that every other student in the classroom has heterosexual parents, if I said to you, that kid should pack his bags and get the hell out of the school system, I would be a bigot. I would be discriminating against a kid who's got two moms. But for Dr. Tim Merrick, in all of his great insight and wisdom, if you are a parent that is that objects to sexual content in the classroom, if you object to talking to 6, 7, 8-year-olds about transgender ideology, you just need to pack your stuff up and just get the hell out. That's his solution. He's not a fan of parental rights. He doesn't want parents to be involved. This is a consistent theme with those on the political left, and it's why the North Carolina General Assembly back just a couple of years ago enshrined in state law, which as we have already figured out at this point, Tim Merrick doesn't care about the law. He doesn't care about policy. He'll do whatever he wants because that's more important. Fortunately, the Republican-led General Assembly has enshrined in state law a parent's bill of rights so that people like Tim Merrick can't shove their ridiculous, out-of-control, far-left progressive ideology down the throat of your kids and you have no idea what's going on. That's why that law exists. It exists because of people like Tim Merrick. It exists because of educators who refuse to follow policies that exist within their school district. And if you don't like that as a parent, if you want to be involved in your child's education, to hell with you, you should pack your bags and get the hell out of the school district. That's what he said. That's not my insinuation. That's literally what he said. Then you should pull your kids out of school and find and tell them to go somewhere else. If you made that exact same comment about a trans or gay kid in the school district, you would be brought out in the public square with pitchforks and I don't even know what would happen to you. You'd be dragged out into the public square. If a Republican school board member made the comment, if your child is LGBTQ, if your child is gay, or if you and your partner are gay and you don't like that not everybody in the school district is gay, you should just find somewhere else to go to school. That Republican school board member would be publicly humiliated. Tim Merrick just said the exact same thing, but about conservatives, because that's what he believes. You have to understand that this ideology is above everything else. It is their entire being. It is day in and day out, morning, noon, night. It does not stop. Tim Merrick is wrong for New Hanover County. Thank God he's not in the majority on the school board, or we'd be talking about a whole nother set of issues this morning. He's in the minority, has no power, no government. He's made a complete clown of himself in front of his colleagues, was pulled off of all of the committees, censured by the school board because he doesn't believe that he should have to follow policy. He's better than everybody else. The policy is irrelevant, even though it was enacted by a duly elected governmental body. None of that matters. It's all about Tim Merrick. It's all about his ideology. He's wrong for New Hanover County. And I look forward to, as a resident in House District 20, busting my ass to make sure that Dane Scalise gets elected in November. And I'll make the same call and pledge to you this morning. If what you just heard you find to be very inappropriate, if what you just heard you find to be not compatible with your beliefs, with your leanings, then you've got to do more than post on Facebook about it. You've got to get involved in this process. This is what we are staring down the barrel at. This is the kind of ideology that we are looking at straight in the face. We've got to get behind somebody like County Commissioner Dane Scalise, who's running for this position. We have no choice. If people like Tim Merrick are successful in November of next year, North Carolina will turn into the next New York, the next Connecticut, the next Vermont, the next California. You can take that to the bank this morning. I'm not interested in that. I enjoy the state in which I live in. I enjoy it being an affordable place to live. People like Tim Merrick will make that impossible here in North Carolina. What a scary proposition. And an insane level of things to say. If you want to be involved in your child's education, find somewhere else to go. I don't believe in parental rights. Science tells us there's more than two genders. I mean, what are we doing? What's going on here? This guy is out of control. It does not get any more far left progressive than Tim Merrick. We've got to make sure he's not successful in November of 2026. I'll have a lot of the source material on this. If you are interested in spreading this around, I'd highly encourage you to share this episode of the podcast with your friends, your family members, your coworkers that are politically aligned, and show them what is looking to become a reality here across New Hanover County. Share that with them. You can get access to all of that source material. I'll have it up in the show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, that's going to do it for a Friday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to Melissa Gott and the amazing team at The Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. We're back here Monday morning on The Nick Craig Show.